Hey, just so you know, we do know time change, so I've been seeing it all over the internet. I'm sure some of y'all have. Time change, we have an extra hour to preach today. So, anyway, that's I love that. But anyhow, that's where we're at. Anyway, take the Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 16. We're going to talk very seriously about a parable you're all well aware of. And I will tell you as of right now, it will be a different message, but it may very well be the same thing here next week, simply because this is one of the most popular passages in the Bible that you're going to hear about when it talks about hell in the Bible. And we're talking about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. So if you got your Bible, Luke chapter 16, starting at verse number 19, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking when he says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, this is not the same Lazarus that was raised from the dead, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that sometimes the reality of what we have to look into is not always a pleasant sight. Lord, we just thank you that we know what we have in our future, Lord, if we don't know you as our personal Lord and Savior. We just thank you for showing us these things. In King's name, ask these things today. Amen. We're talking about a place called hell. We're talking about a place of torment. We're talking about a place of things that is not pleasant. And I'm sure at some point or some time, you have heard of a thing called an endangered species. And that's kind of what we're looking at here. Things have become so few and far in between when they are on an endangered species list. They get protected, and they hope to rebound so they can replenish, and they don't become distinct. Once you are put on this list, there is nothing that can be done to harm you. Now, generally speaking, when you're placed on that list, the positive side of it is there is a rebound. There is a replenishing of this because you are protected. So, eventually, you can have those things removed from the endangered list. Well, folks, this is what I'm talking about today. We have certain scriptures in the Bible that have been placed on an endangered species list. This being one of them. This being something we looked at here. You know, folks, I'm here to tell you, you go to churches today, you look around places you go to today, and I'm here to tell you, a sermon talking about hell is literally non-existent. It doesn't happen. No one wants to hear about it. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to believe it. Folks, I just read you a passage in the Bible that was spoken by Jesus Christ himself, because I have a red letter edition of my Bible, and this is him talking. And let me tell you something, if the man said it, it's real. It's there. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. And folks, I'm hearing, you go to churches today, you don't hear much about talking about hell. All everybody wants to talk about is heaven, and all everybody wants to talk about is the positive. But let me tell you something. Hell is not always negative. How can that be so? I just read about what happened. How can it not be negative? You ever thought about that? I'll tell you how hell's not negative. If you're a child of God, hell doesn't affect you. And that's a positive thing right there. That's something you look forward to. And so it's not a negative when you talk about it. It's a reality that we talk about. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it's no different than driving your car. If you drive your car and that little thing is called a fuel gauge goes from F to E and it's on empty, you can have a problem. You're not going to go very far if it's on empty. Well, that's the same thing, folks. When you're in heaven and you know Jesus, you're on full. When you don't know Jesus, you're on empty, folks. And let me tell you something. The gas gauge is bumping E real hard because God's not going to tarry much longer. So, we're going to talk about this. And folks, I'm telling you, it's been 3 years. I hate to admit it, but it's been 3 years since I preached the two-week series over hell in this church. And here we're going to talk about it today. Let me tell you something. There's a few things that you want to hear about. Number one, hell is real. Hell is hot. And the one thing that people talk about today, that people don't want to hear about today, let me tell you something right now. Hell is eternal. There's no escaping hell. Folks, if there's going to be a place you go to, the Bible says you're going to go to heaven and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, which you can't comprehend. We don't know what eternity is because we think everything's got to have a number put on it so we can put a number with it. And folks, let me tell you something. Eternity is forever and ever plus a day. And let me tell you, if the Bible says there's a heaven that's going to last that long, hell's going to last just as long. So what do we do when we're talking about hell? What's being taught about hell today in church? Well, we're going to look at a few things here. If I offend you, I'm sorry. Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll tell you what hell is. Hell is a grave. That's what they say hell is. In 1999, John Paul II says this, hell should be seen not as a fiery underworld, but as the state of those who freely and definitively separate themselves from God, the source of life and joy. Now, folks, he's half right. He's half right. You're going to be separated from God. But let me tell you something. You better not disconcern what I just read. The Bible says hell is going to be a fiery pit and it's going to be hot. So John Paul was half right. Your Seventh-day Adventists say hell's not real. They say it's not real. One bunch I looked up here, folks, let me tell you something. The Campus Crusaders, Bill Bright, won't even mention hell in his stuff. There's a lot of churches today that won't mention hell in their churches today. Folks, let me tell you, we're at a point right now that this is the biggest thing you're going to hear right now. We are in a generation of unchurched people. The generation of unchurched people is hitting the young adult age group right now. How do you know that? Go to your colleges today that are rioting. Your colleges not rioting, excuse me, protesting, let me say that. They're protesting because people are back in Israel and they're not back in the Hamas because they're unchurched and they don't know what the Bible teaches about Israel and the Palestinians and everything that's going on. So that's, we know we're in an unchurched generation. Well, the unchurched generation, and you've heard me talk about this before, this unchurched generation says, if God loves me, he won't send me to hell. How can you tell me God loves me and then talk about a place called hell? That's the unchurched generation today. The unchurched generation, folks, is this. I want what I can have, and I want it my way, the easy way. I don't want to have to work for nothing. But what I'm fixing to say here, folks, I want you to understand. I will not apologize for what I'm fixing to say. I will not. I will go on record saying this. You can walk out of here and you can quote me on what I'm fixing to say. I believe hell is a place of fire. I believe hell is a place of torment. I believe hell is a place of suffering. And I believe hell is a place of burning. And you can quote me on that. And that's just fine. I will go on record saying that. The Bible said that God sent His Son to save us from sin. That's what it said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, what does it say? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, don't tell me that because God loves me, that there's not a place called hell when the Bible says that those that believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've got to have to understand, if you don't believe in Him, there is a punishment for those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. You have to understand that. We have to go here. Jesus Christ carried the sin of our life to the cross in a place called Calvary. And if we don't accept that, there is a penalty. There is a penalty when we don't do stuff right here in this world. You take it today. I mean, yes, we had a nice little joke on Ron, don't get me wrong. But I'm here to tell you, if you do something against the law, and you get citation for it, or you get arrested for it, there is a penalty to pay when you break the law. Folks, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you are breaking the law of going to heaven. The Bible clearly states that you will have an eternal destination. That eternal destination is either heaven or it's hell. You're going to stand before God, and there's going to be a judgment. And He's going to look in that book and He's going to say that your name's written in that book of life. And He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful service. Or it's not there. And He's going to say, depart from me, I knew you not. That's what the Bible put in the states. Not those exact words. I'm just using my words. But that's what the Bible tells us is going to happen. There was a teacher one time. I started saying it was a man, but I wouldn't do that part. There was a teacher one time. Little girl comes up and says, talking about Jonah being swallowed. And of course, you know, we assume it's the whale. The Bible says it was a big fish. The teacher says, a whale can't swallow human beings. I don't care how big the fish is. I don't care how big it is. The airway's too small for it to swallow a person. The little girl turns around and says, well, I'll find out. When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah what happened. The teacher turns around and says, what if Jonah went to hell? And he should look and say, well, you can ask him when he gets there. You can ask him when he gets there. You know, so, you know, but what's happened? Why has hell become forgotten these days? It is still real. It is still there, folks. I'm here to tell you. I'm going to tell you what's happened. I will tell you what's happened, why hell's not talked about. I will tell you what is. And if I ever get to this point, I will never step foot back in a pulpit again. Because churches are too worried about seats being full and about offerings being big and not worried about you telling the truth. They want you to hear, tickle your ears is what they want you to hear. That's what they want. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you've got to know the cold, hard truth of what's going on. In 2002, this is the nearest, closest one I could find. In 2002, the LA Times conducted a poll. How many people have ever heard of this, and I know most of you have, of hellfire and brimstone preachers? How many people have heard of that? You've heard of hellfire and brimstone preachers. These are people that aren't afraid to talk the truth. Folks, in 2002, the LA Times did a poll and showed the numbers were declining in 2002, and those numbers have declined immensely in the last 10 years. Because people don't want to hear the truth. People don't want to hear what's going on. I'm here to tell you, as a Christian, you should never be afraid of that right there. Never. You want to grow as a Christian? This is how you grow. You want to see people's lives saved and people's lives changed? It's right here. We should never be afraid of what's in God's Word as a Christian. And folks, guess what? Hell is in God's Word. Jesus came to save us from this place called hell, this dreadful place. Jesus doesn't want us to be there. Let me tell you something. I didn't, until I'd done this study, it never came to my mind, even when I'd done it last time. For me to downplay hell and not talk about hell is to downplay the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. Why? He came to save me from that place. He came to give me the option. And if I don't talk about it, then I'm downplaying what he did on that cross. Hell's real. Hell's hot. And it's everlasting. You people have heard of the Salvation Army, I'm sure. Gentleman by the name of William Booth, he founded the Salvation Army. He made this statement. The day would come where we would preach heaven and omit hell. That day has arrived. It's here. Churches won't talk about it. So we're going to look at why is it important that we talk about hell. Why is it important that we look at hell? I'm going to tell you the number one reason why it's important that we talk about hell. The Bible says there is a hell. So it's important we talk about it. You know, hell is an eternal place of torment. No one wants to talk about this. No one wants to look at it, what goes on. No one needs to do it because, folks, I'm here to tell you, they don't like the bad part that comes with it. But it's in the Bible. And if you study the Bible from cover to cover and you look at it, folks, I'm here to tell you, it talks about hell as a place of torment. Hell is a place of burning. Hell is a place of fire. What did it say about the rich man? It said that, well, Lazarus just take the tip of his finger and touch my tongue with water to alleviate the pain. How many people, when you think about hell, truly can say that I don't want anybody to go to hell? How many people can truly say that? When you think about it, do you really have somebody that you're that upset with, that you're that crossways with? You don't want anyone to go to hell with what we talked about. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've had. You don't want that person to go there if you know Jesus Christ because you love and gave his love in your heart. A lot of people argue with you, hell's not real. They'll tell you it's not everlasting. They'll tell you it's not hot. Deuteronomy 32:22 says this, a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Job 11:8 says this, it is as high as heaven. You skip down a little bit and it will say deeper than hell. Psalms 9:17 says, the wicked, now listen, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forgot God. That one stood out to me because, folks, you're living in a nation that has forgot God. James 3:6 says, set on fire of hell. Revelation 23 says this, Revelation chapter 20, verse 3. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Folks, these are just a few scriptures that the Word tells us this right here in these few scriptures. Hell is down. Hell is deep. Hell is hot. It's everlasting. And both it's painful. That's what it is. That's what the Bible teaches about hell. Why else is hell important? Not only does the Bible teach me about hell, Jesus Christ talks about hell. He talks about hell. We can spread the passage from it. You know, Jesus, believe it or not, when he walked on this earth, and he did his ministry on this earth, Jesus preached hell more than he did heaven. He talked about hell more than he did heaven when he was on this earth. He did not do this because he was a negative person. He did this because he wanted people to understand just how nasty and how terrible hell really is to be. Now, how is that the case? How is that not negative? Number one, it tells you if you know Jesus Christ, that's something you avoid. Number two, it should tell you that I don't want my family, I don't want my relatives, I don't want my friends to have to go through what I know is the nasty place that Jesus Christ talks about. I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to go through this. Some of the teachings and references that you're going to see, and I didn't go through all these right here, but when you look at them, the book of Matthew 5:22. 5:29, 10:28, 16, verse 18, chapter 23, verse 15, and verse 33. The book of Mark, 9:43, and Luke, chapter 10, verse 15. That's just a few of the scriptures that he talks about, that he teaches on up there. The clearest that you're going to see, one of the clearest teachings is what I just read today, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. That's one of the clearest things you're going to see. Folks, you're going to have to understand, you better believe in hell today for two reasons that I've already talked about, because the Bible teaches it and because Jesus Christ talked about it. And if you don't believe in it because of those, then you need to just not even go any farther. Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe because the Bible teaches it and because Jesus teaches it, folks, I'm here to tell you, you need to find Jesus as your personal Savior. Because if you're a Christian, those two's going to get you started in the right direction. And here's the third one. This one right here is the one that I don't know. It always scares me when I use this word. Logic requires there is a hell. Why does that scare me? Because there's too many people out there that want to argue logic. They want to argue what goes on. They want to change logic. Logic can't be that way. You know, basically, it's a fancy word for common sense that people don't use anymore. They don't use anymore. Logic justice says there is a hell, folks. Let me tell you something. Why is it? Logic says if you break the law in the country or you do something wrong, you go to jail or prison. That's where you go. Think about this. This is the part you don't want to talk about, but I'm going to anyway. Cemeteries. Cemeteries. This is a place that we lay those that have passed on. Why do we do that? You ever think about that? I did. When I started studying. Why do we do that? What would happen if every person in here, we don't have a lot of people, but if every person in here, we didn't bury our folks that had died and we let them all piled up out there, what would happen? Disease would start running. You would have diseases taking off and going everywhere. You would have all this, you know, human waste that would be going everywhere. Think about it. That's why we do that, to keep all this stuff from spreading. That's why you have landfills to take your garbage to, so you don't pile garbage out there so all the same stuff would happen. That's why you do that. You have nuclear waste facilities that are designed to take care of nuclear waste properly. You have salvage yards that you go throw broken down vehicles that aren't any good in salvage yards. All this stuff is put, they put them in their place when it's time to put them there. So why do we not logically think there's a hell if we're not doing what God wants us to do and we leave this world not knowing Jesus? They need to logically understand there is a place that people go that don't know Jesus. They don't just float around up there in the sky. They don't have it. We don't do that. Logically, logic says there is a hell. So, understand this. I think it'll be pretty graphic with what I'm going to say. People that don't know Jesus, the same as I dispose of the people that have passed on in the cemetery, the same as I dispose of the garbage at the landfill, the nuclear waste, the way we dispose of our human waste. Folks, let me tell you something. People that don't know Jesus Christ when they die, God's got to have a way to get rid of the trash. He's got to have a way to get rid of the garbage. And that's what he's doing. People that don't know Jesus Christ, folks, when they leave this world, there's no other opportunity. There's no other chance that they have to make it right. It's over. It's done. Why would you expect God to bring those people into his city when he told us what we had to do to get there? People say, God's a God of love. God will not send anyone to hell. And folks, that statement is 100% correct. God will never send you to hell. God never sent anyone. Matter of fact, if you go back and look, Jesus done everything humanly possible, everything spiritually possible to make sure you don't go to the place called hell. He died on the cross. He died on that cross. He rose from the grave after the third day. He done everything possible so that, get this, people are the ones that make the choice to go to heaven. It's not God. God gave you the way out. God gave you the way out, and you're going to face consequences. Hell is not prepared for mortals. Matthew 25:41 says this, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Folks, God is not going to force you into going and spending eternity in hell. God is not going to force you into being a Christian. God's giving you the option to decide what you want to do. You know, I think about it as I was looking at it. And y'all know the baseball season just ended. The World Series is over. Now you have the same thing in the football and the basketball. What happens if you get all these free agents? That's what we are out here, folks. We are free agents. We have the right to choose where I want to go. Now, in the basketball, you know, they have options of where teams they want to go. Ours is pretty simple. You've got heaven and you've got hell. You've got Jesus and you've got Satan is what you've got. We're a free agent. You can choose which side of the fence you want to be on. God's not going to force us to. God's not going to make you do that. God's going to say, you have your own right to choose which way you want to go. Understand. There was a drunkard walked up to a police officer one day, and he asked the police officer, where is the bar that they call Hell's Gate? Police officer replied, right down there is a cross. That's called the Calvary Church. Go right on past it, you'll find Hell's Gate. That's what happens. People, how many people do you know pass church houses all across our country every day? Thank you. They have that one more chance. One more chance. Here's the other one that I got, another illustration. This one is where we're at today. This one really is scary. A woman died. She was an executive in a business. She went to heaven. She was met at the gate by none other than St. Peter. He was there waiting. Peter looks at her and says, Peter, prophet. None of the executives that you've been around have ever, that have died before you have ever been here. We really don't know what we're going to do. So, here's our dilemma. We're going to let you spend a day in heaven. We're going to let you spend a day in hell, and you're going to choose where you want to spend eternity. So she went to, just go to hell. The elevator goes down, doors open up. Guess what? Her friends are there to meet her. Her friends give her a kiss. They play golf. They eat at the country club. They have a beautiful time. Wonderful time. She loved it. Next day she goes to heaven. Gets to spend the days floating around in the clouds. She gets to spend the days listening to the music, playing the harp. You know how we got everything pictured in her head. Next day she has to go to St. Peter and says, have you made your choice? She said, yeah. Well, listen to me. She said, you know, heaven's nice. I really enjoy it. But I think I'm going to go to hell because my friends are in heaven. My friends met me. We ate the country. We played golf. I think I want you to go to hell because it's fun. She arrived. Same elevator doors open up. The land is bare. There's fire. There's all this that's happening. All this is going on. All this stuff that's taking place. And she looks over and says, what happened to hell? I was there yesterday, day before. This was not what I was in. Where's it at? Satan walks out. And she says, Satan, what happened? this is not what I was at. Satan looked at her in the eyes and said, the other day, I was recruiting you. Now I've got you. Folks, that's what we see. We get out here. People are caught up with their friends. People are caught up in the ways of the world. And they're having fun. They're enjoying what they're doing. They don't believe this heaven stuff. They don't believe in the church thing. They don't believe in what's going on. And folks, the bottom line is this right here. Whatever happened to hell? Nothing. It is here. It is real. It does exist. Nothing happened to it. The world has painted the picture like this executive woman that she was in a country club and she was going to have her friends around her. Folks, this woman, as she was there, was at her country club playing golf when she was on this earth and she was doing it and it wasn't ready to meet Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, when you get to a place called hell, it's nothing like people have painted it. Today, people are trying to make it out. It's not a big deal. It's not a bad place. The preachers are really hot. The preachers are trying to scare you. Folks, I'm not here to scare you. I am not here. Let me tell you, I am not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you what the Bible teaches about hell. Now, if it scares you, you need to talk to God. You need to visit with God, not me. I'll help you, but I'm not the one that makes that decision. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's what I told you a while ago there in the book of Matthew 25:41. You're going to stand before God. And God's going to tell you, depart from me. I knew you not if you don't know me. And folks, there's only one destination you're going to. And I'm here to tell you, it's a place called hell. I don't care what you want to paint it up like. I don't care what you want it to be like. I don't care what you think it is. It's a place called hell. And it's real. The same as we're sitting here today. The same as somebody somewhere took their last breath today. In the last minute they took their last breath, folks, they had an eternal destination to go to. That could be you before you ever get home. That could be you before tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. People don't want to talk about hell. People don't want you to talk about hell. It scares them. It bothers me. But folks, let me tell you something. I don't care if it scares you. You can disagree with everything I've said. But I'm going to tell you this. I told you a while ago, I'll stand on it. Hell is real. The Bible says it to me. You can either say yes, it is. I just read it to you in Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. Or you can sit down and say, man, I really don't think it's right. If you don't, that's your business. But you're contradicting God's word, not me. I just believe God's word. Tyrone Edwards, he died in 1894. He said this. This is a statement. The rich man would have loved to have heard this. The rich man. He made this statement. Hell is a truth seen too late. How many of you sit here today that if you don't know Jesus Christ in your life today, have sat there and said, I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. How many said that same thing? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll catch it next week. I'll catch it again. Hell is a truth that is seen too late. God gives us those opportunities to move. It's called the Holy Ghost. He said the Holy Ghost is our comfort to stir our hearts so we know that we need to know Jesus. Folks, I'm here to tell you. You never know what's going to happen in your life. You have an opportunity. Maybe you're not comfortable talking about it. And that's okay. Nobody likes it. But you better be comfortable talking to somebody about their eternal destination because that is your responsibility. So it's a whole lot easier when I can talk about something if I know both sides of the fence. And people have to understand. It's not hard. if they don't know Jesus Christ,
there's no other way to do it.
There's no other way to do that. I mean, what did Jesus Christ say? Jesus Christ told the disciples, no one goes to the Father except through me. God tells us that we've all sinned. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us. So, folks, I'm here to tell you, penalty is death. The gift is heaven. You know, one thing that's scary about hell is this right here. Tyler, you talk for a minute, but I'm going to tell you what's scary about hell is this right here. We talk about the burning. We talk about the descriptions that we've had. We talk about what's happening. You know what's scary about hell? You know what is scary about hell? You may think you live in a place that's bad now. But folks, let me tell you something. Those people that are in hell that are going to be floating around there, they're not going to be sitting in a chair. They're not going to be sitting at a table. They're going to be gnashing of teeth. They're going to be burning. They're going to be going through this stuff that's going on. Well, let me tell you something. The scariest part about it, there's no air in hell. There's no air in hell. How can you say that? I can say it because this is what the Bible tells me. Jesus Christ is the breath that I believe. Jesus Christ is my life, my joy. And folks, when they go to hell, there's eternal separation from Jesus Christ. There's never going back. There's never going to see him again. So there's no, not only are they going through the gnashing of teeth, not only are they going to be begging for water, not only are they going to see what's going on where we're at. You know, not only are they going to see that, they're going to see there's no opportunity for them to ever make it right. Why is this important to me? The Bible teaches it. Jesus taught it. There's some importance that I've got to teach. If the Bible brings it out and Jesus teaches it, I need to be taught about it. Like I said, maybe you don't want to. And that's okay. But you have responsibility for those around you that don't know Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you to go in there today and browbeat them down about hell and they're going to do this. I'm not telling you to do that. But what I'm telling you is you need to put it in your mind what their expectancy is if they don't know Jesus Christ, so you can start trying to find ways to open the door to tell them more about Jesus Christ. It's a holiday season, folks. It's a time coming up that people's hearts are going to be a little more receptive to what we're doing, a little more receptive to what's happening. And the best thing for you to do is understand the reality of it is there's a place besides heaven that if they don't know Jesus Christ, and you have a pretty good idea who your friends are that don't know Jesus Christ. You have a pretty good idea who your family is. And I'm not telling you if you're ever going to talk to them that all the time, but folks, I can promise you this. There's an open communication line to a man named God that we can spend time praying for these people, praying that God will open that door, open that window. You don't have the ability to change our life. You do not have the ability. What did the rich man tell Jesus? Send the dead man in. Send one from here to go tell my brothers so they will repent. What did Jesus say? If they don't listen to Moses or the prophets, why are they going to listen to the rich man? What am I saying that for? To say this. Like it or not, you're a prophet. You're the one that's got to be telling them about it. If they're not going to listen to you talking about Jesus, if they're not going to be willing to take into consideration what you're doing, folks, it's on them. It's on what they do. But if you don't tell them, it's on you. It's on you if you don't tell them. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus said. It's not for me to take the dead man out of heaven and send him down there. It's for them to listen to Moses, and it's for them to listen to the prophets, because there's people talking about it. There's people telling them about it. That's my job. So that's why we're talking about him. Because guess what? People need to hear the hard truth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Once again, Tyrone, or Tryon Edwards, said in 1894, hell is a truth seen to like the executive woman. She went in, hell looked like this, it looked like that. People out here in this world today, they don't think it's a bad deal. They live out here today, but when they get there, the reality of it is. What about that? Folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, you can't put him off. You can't put him back. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants anyone they know to go to hell. If you're here today and you're a Christian, there's somebody in your life that you want to pray for. There's somebody in your life you need to pray for. I encourage you to do that today. I encourage you to do that today.